This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington. Neil Conan is away. We read in the Washington Post yesterday an article that compared two numbers, unemployment, which is still high, and the production of goods and services, which is only down slightly. In fact, worker productivity is way up, despite cutbacks and a lack of investment in new equipment, which means the folks who do have jobs in this economy are working really, really hard. The point of the Post article was that all that hard work may actually be holding back job growth. But it also got us thinking, how long can we sustain doing more work with fewer resources and for less pay? Or is this the new normal? Today, your job in a middling economy, stories from the workforce. Later in the hour, a vision for nationwide broadband access from FCC Chair Julius Genachowski. But first, how has the economy changed your job? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. We begin with Marisa Di Natale. She's a director at moodyseconomy.com. She joins us from her office in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.
So what's happening here in the big picture? What does it mean when productivity is up, yet millions of people are out of work?
Basically, what it means is that the people that are employed are doing more work. So we're getting more output from the people that are working. So even though we have still falling employment and we have an unemployment rate that's very elevated, production hasn't fallen off as much as one would anticipate given the decline in employment.
The last time we saw big numbers rising in worker productivity, it was because of big technological advances and investment in infrastructure during boom times that allowed workers to be more productive. That's not the case here. So what is behind the fact that people are able to do more with less?
Well, it seems this time around that, as you mentioned, we don't have the tech boom that we had, say, in the early 2000s and the late 1990s when the advent of the internet was boosting productivity. So this time around, it just seems that employees are staying put and employers are taking advantage of extraordinarily low labor costs to boost productivity. So it's not so much the technology that's boosting productivity. It's that people are staying in their jobs and they're doing more in their jobs than they had before, probably because they know that prospects for finding another job aren't so good.
So it's an employer's market.
It certainly is.
And when that happens, and I assume that's kind of cyclical, what do we learn about this type of market? How long does it generally last, and or is this a unique situation?
I don't think this is a unique situation. I don't think we can sustain very, very high levels of productivity without corresponding investment in technology like we saw back in the 1990s and 2000s. So once the job market starts to loosen up a little bit and people become more confident in their prospects for getting another job, I think that you're going to see hiring pick up because employers are just, they're really squeezing everything they can out of their existing workforces. So in order to get more, they're going to have to start adding new employees.
And what are some signs to watch for that might mean it's shifting a little bit away from that employer's market?
Well, one thing you could look at is you could look at wages. When productivity goes up, typically what we see during a recession is that wage growth declines. And right now, we're seeing almost unprecedented declines in wages, which is another reason why employers are so eager to keep the people that they have rather than go out and hire new people. So when hiring picks up, we're going to see that the bargaining power is going to shift back toward the employees. And we're going to see that employees are going to be able to bargain their wages a little bit higher than they have over the past few years since the recession began.
Also with us is Eve Tamangiolo. She's a columnist for MSNBC.com's Your Career. She also blogs at careerdiva.net. She's joining us from her home in Wilmington, Delaware. Welcome to the program.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So when we talk about this worker who feels lucky to have a job and is doing more with less and getting paid less for it, what are workers feeling? I mean, what is it actually like to be that employee?
Well, I think employees are making it easy on employers right now. They've seen their wages cut. They've been on furlough, and many are calling it funlough, sarcastically. And they're doing these things, accepting them with little complaints because, and I talk to workers all the time, I get emails, and the mantra seems to be, you're lucky to have a job.
So what sort of trends are you seeing?
Well, what I'm seeing is, and, you know, I talked to a manager the other day who confided in me that she was actually angry at one of her employees for filing for overtime. She thought that person should realize that there have been layoffs, that there are empty desks near them, and they shouldn't be filing for unemployment. That kind of pressure is still out there, and it's a lot of pressure on workers who tell me they feel pressured to work at home, you know, off hours, not reported, and it's creating a really tough situation for them. But I don't see it letting up. I mean, I see most workers going along with it and not really complaining at this point.
And indeed, there doesn't seem to be a lot of incentive for employers to have it let up. I mean, if they're getting more out of fewer workers for less money, why would they change the situation?
Yeah, I think right now, if workers start asking, I did a column earlier this year saying, is 2010 the year you should ask for a promotion or a raise? And it was funny how many, you know, people were laughing out loud. They said, how could we do that? You know, one woman said, emailed me and said, are you crazy? You know, my manager would freak out if I asked for that right now. But I think if you have workers that are getting sick, that are stressed out, and we see that more and more, that employers have to start taking that into consideration. But at the same time, they're cutting benefits and they're cutting some things that would help their mental health. So it's really a tough situation right now.
And Marisa Di Natale, what do you see as prospects for employers being enticed to hire more people or create new jobs when they've got this productivity situation now?
Yeah, well, clearly they're going to keep that going as long as they can. I mean, there's not much incentive to go out and hire new people if the people that you have are willing to put in a lot of overtime and accept lower wages. But eventually, when the economy starts to enter a self-sustaining expansion, meaning that we don't need as much government stimulus as we had before, and demand is rising appreciably, they're not going to be able to sustain that. And so that may not be for a while, though. I mean, I don't think that that's going to happen quickly. That may not happen until the end of this year or early next year. But when that happens, it's going to be very difficult for them to increase their levels of production without adding more people.
Let's hear from Dusty in Pocatello, Idaho. Dusty, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hey, thank you.
Sure. So you're on the air, Dusty. What's your question?
Oh, yeah. So I work in radio as well, in commercial radio, though, and I listen to your show all the time. So thank you very much. It's a great topic, and one of my coworkers, well, used to be my coworker, is now my boss. Two positions have been eliminated, and she's taken on both of those workloads. And so I'm part-time, and so I don't have to do as much work maybe as her, but I can definitely see that having benefits and just having a job in this economy is not just like a bargaining chip, but is something that can be used against her, you know, to sort of strong-arm her into doing a lot of work for the same pay, maybe even a cut in pay. I don't know if she's gotten a cut in pay. I wouldn't be privy to that information, but I see that it's pretty hard on her.
And are you seeing a difference in how those jobs are done? Are they done as well by one person as they were by two?
Oh, of course not. And, you know, you can, I mean, she does a great job, but she's really doing three people's positions. And so, of course, you see, you see maybe the same amount of production, but definitely a decrease in quality, which is unfortunately for the product that any, you know, company would be making. In this instance, it's a radio show or, you know, some programming, but I do see, you know, some bright spots on the horizon. They have talked about hiring someone back, a co-host for her morning show. So hopefully there's, you know, some good things. I think that ad revenues, which were down or flat, are perhaps not as flat as they were. That's sort of what I hear. So I'm hopeful for her.
Dusty, thanks for your call. I mean, Eve Tamangiola, we've been talking about productivity being up without necessarily corresponding quality is Rusty's point, that just because you're still accomplishing the same things doesn't mean you're accomplishing them as well.
Yeah, and I hear that often. You know, people say, I don't know how I did that project. I don't even remember what I did. They're juggling so many things at once, wearing so many hats. You know, productivity might be up, but what is happening to quality? And if you talk to workers, they think it's declining overall.
And does that then spur the incentive to maybe create new jobs, Marisa Di Natale? I mean, if the decline in quality is recognizable?
Yeah, if the decline in quality starts leading to declines in revenue for a company, sure.
We talked about the notion of this being cyclical. Are there elements to this particular recession that are not typical, that, that might be rare or even unique? Marisa?
There are a lot. But one of the things you can point to that's related to, I think, what's going on in the labor market is the fact that this recession, unlike any we've ever seen before, is probably more geographically broad-based than any other before, meaning that almost every single state and every single metro area in the country went through recession over the past couple of years. And so what that means is that people really don't have anywhere else to go if they lose their job. So if they lose a job in New York, they can't necessarily go to Boston or go to Philadelphia to find a new job. So it, in many ways, kept people in place, kept people sort of stuck where they were. And then add on top of that the fact that many places had severe housing market corrections, which also kept a lot of people in place. People were unable or unwilling to sell homes in order to move. And so in many cases, I think a lot of employers were stuck in their positions.
I would love to add one thing that I feel what's different about this downturn, if we look at early 1980s and in the 1990s, is people really feel that, you know, they know somebody out there who's lost their job or lost their home, and they're pretty much shell-shocked. I talked to a career counselor today who was counseling in the 90s during the downturn, and she says she just can't believe the people that come into her office who were saying, you know, I'll take any job, I'll take that cut in pay. And oftentimes they're not as mobile as they were in other recessions because of what you just said, that they can't travel and go to another town, or their mortgage is underwater, so they really can't leave. They can't leave the home.
We are talking about your job in this economy. What's your story from the workforce? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or you can send us email. The address is talk@npr.org. I'm Rebecca Roberts. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington. The Obama administration has been talking about how the economy is finally picking up, but times are still tough. Unemployment levels remain high and job creation is sluggish. Workers are being asked to do more with less, and some people feel overworked while others are just happy to have a job. We're here talking about the new normal in the workforce with Marisa Di Natale. She's a director at moodyseconomy.com. And Eve Tamangiolu. She's a columnist for MSNBC.com's Your Career and a blogger at careerdiva.net. We have an email from David in Healdsburg, California, who says, isn't one of the key factors in the new improved worker efficiency numbers the fact that harsh economic circumstances have forced employers to take maximum advantage of the vast technological efficiency gains made in the 90s and early 2000s that to this point have been somewhat hidden behind a status quo workplace mentality? Now, with the vast capabilities of computing mobility, information access, and organization and organizational management, could our present sustained unemployment be the leading edge of a whole new paradigm for wage earners? Marisa Di Natale?
That's a really good point, and that's something that economists have talked about, which is perhaps part of what we're seeing in the recent productivity gains is not investment necessarily in new technology, but better use of technology that had previously been purchased maybe 10 years ago. So if you think about the stuff that you see business people using now, like Blackberries and video conferencing and web conferencing, all of that seems to be more, just anecdotally speaking, in my own job, seems to be more prevalent than it was 5 or 10 years ago, even though all of that technology existed 5 or 10 years ago. So yes, it could be that we're actually using this opportunity to put that technology to better use.
Let's hear from Will in San Antonio, Texas. Will, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Yes, ma'am. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here.
Ma'am?
Yep, you're on the air, Will.
Okay. Well, one of my comments is, you know, not all employers are cutting wages and taking away benefits. I'm an employer. I have a plumbing company. And my business is half of what it was last year and the year before. But my employees have jumped in there, and yes, they are working more, but, you know, I still pay overtime when they work overtime. And I think right now it's not that great for employers, and it's not as good as it was for employees, but I can remember employees coming in. They didn't want to interview. They said, this other guy wants to pay me this amount per hour. What are you going to pay me? And then you'd pay that, and you'd get employees that, you know, didn't want to produce. So, and with 10% unemployment, not 100% of the employees are going to be that great. So if you've got 10% that don't have a job out there right now, and this is overall, I'm not saying everybody, it's been tough, but, you know, you're going to have a 10% out there of anything that's not going to work to the top levels.
And Will, are you feeling like the employees you have now are better at their jobs? You had a pick of better employees in this economy?
The employees that I have always been good employees, okay? It's the ones that, you know, they didn't make the cut, and it's not because I took their job and the other guys are doing twice as much. That's not the case. It's just that most of the people I see right now in my profession that don't have a job, they were just filling a space.
Well, thanks for your call. Yeah, Marisa Di Natale, that is certainly another question. Was some of this gain in productivity cutting out some dead wood and some inefficiency that needed to happen economically?
Yeah, and it almost always happens with every recession. That's true. It gives employers a chance to sort of, for lack of a better term, weed people out. So if they know that they have to cut jobs, then they can be selective to some extent with who they cut. But I think what we've seen this time around is that it seems like, especially given the high levels of productivity, that employers, many of them in some industries, may have actually overshot it. So they got too scared, I guess, during the downturn and maybe cut too many workers. And so now what we're seeing is, in on average, very high levels of productivity where you have fewer people doing a lot more work.
Which is unsustainable if it was an overcorrection.
Right.
Let's take a call from Lisa in Oxford, Ohio. Lisa, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. I would just like to note that this recession has had a huge impact on my industry, which is higher education. And there have been universities who have let tenured professors go, which was never an option prior to this new economic reality. Also, folks like me who are tenured and whose universities are not cutting anybody tenured at this point, our course loads are higher. The caps on students in our classes are being raised so that we have to redesign our classes in order to accommodate larger numbers of students. Sometimes, in some cases, this may impact the quality of particularly introductory courses, the quality of education. And when folks retire, their lines are not being replaced so that universities are becoming much more dependent on contingent labor and, you know, lecturers that not necessarily have to be supplied with health benefits, adjunct labor, which I believe is highly exploited labor at very low pay. And so from where I sit, higher education is going to be a completely changed being due to these new economic realities, and things will not go back to normal. Hiring will not resume at the tenure line level that many universities used to have to sustain. I think public universities are probably being the worst hit because many of them are supported to some degree or another by the states in which they are located. But many private universities are being hit as well because of their endowments. They took huge hits during this last economic downturn as well.
Lisa, thank you for your call. Eve Tamangiolu, are you hearing that from other sectors as well, that it's not just a sort of temporary take it for the team, for the good of the company to get through this bad time, but this is actually going to be what the new normal is like?
Yeah, I really believe that. And I hear from a lot of educators and people in many different industries that this recession, because it's been so harsh, has been a good, an easy excuse for employers. Let's face it, most managers don't want to fire people. They don't want to cut benefits, but, you know, given the technological advances and maybe some unproductive workers. Now they sort of had that push to be able to cut those people where maybe they couldn't have done it before. And, you know, the signs are all around. Again, workers, see, the Information Week this week has a big zero on the cover. This issue, this week's issue, it says zilch, and it says pay is flat for the first time in 11 years in IT. Things like that really worry workers. So when they see that, you know, they say, okay, well, I'm going to accept less pay. I'm going to, you know, not push for that raise. And I think people see this as the reality with more and more contract workers coming into the workplace. You know, whenever jobs are filled right now, that's what I hear employers are adding. It's contract workers. So, yeah, it's the new normal. And we're going to be shell-shocked, I think, for a little bit more.
Let's hear from Liz in Sonoma. Liz, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thank you. I just had an experience where I was given a quote-unquote promotion and a raise, went from an hourly position to a salaried position, and actually lost money. I'm earning less because I no longer have access to overtime. And I'm working for a company that is actually not hurting because of the recession. In fact, it's a public company. Their stock has doubled in the last 6 months, and they're doing quite well. And I think that one of the illusions is that companies are, you know, hard hit, and some of the bigger companies, even some of the medium-sized companies, are not being hard hit by this recession, and they're taking advantage of the fact that the employees think that they're being hit by the recession and trying to decrease their salaries, decrease their benefits, and get as much work out of them as they can so that they can make the stockholders earn more. And that's just unethical, and I think that's going to be part of the new normal that needs to be talked about. Otherwise, you know, the employees are just going to sit and take it.
Liz, yeah. Thanks for your call. Yeah, Eve?
Yeah, definitely. And I call it the fake raise. I hear this over and over again. People are getting promoted. They're taking on the job of the person that used to sit next to them, but they're not seeing their pay go up and they're putting in more hours. So essentially, they're making less.
I think we have time for one more call. This is Lori in Vancouver, Washington. Lori, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
I'm sorry. I had to take it off of speakerphone. I work for in-home care services. I'm I'm one step below a CNA, and I work for a company who is nonprofit. They get all their funding from the government. In the state of Washington, there has been, well, of course, the recession, and the amount of money that the government has to dole out to people who are elderly and disabled is vastly less than it was last year or even the year before. My company has had to cut almost all of their office staff. We're down to 5 workers who were doing the work, who are now doing the work of 15. My coworkers and I have seen an across-the-board reduction in client hours of 10% to 20%, which means a lot of us that were formerly working part-time are now not working, and the rest of us who were working full-time are now working part-time. And we're just glad to have jobs. I'm wondering, will this ever improve?
Yeah, Lori, thanks for your call. Marisa Di Natale?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I think it will. But I think, and this was the case during the last recession also, that it may take a while. It could be another year or so before we start to see a really significant pickup in job growth.
And we're expecting new unemployment numbers from March tomorrow. What are you looking for there?
Well, we're expecting that we're going to see an increase, a pretty significant increase for the first time since the recession began. But that's mainly because of two reasons. The first reason is that the data for February was probably skewed downward a bit because of the snowstorms that hit much of the country during that month. So we're going to expect some seasonal bounce back from that. And then the second thing is that the federal government has already started hiring people to conduct the 2010 census. And over the course of the next several months, they're going to hire hundreds of thousands of people. And that's going to start to show up in March. But we still have very weak trends in the private sector. So if you take out government and you take out some of the seasonal stuff, there's only a handful of industries where we expect to see gains.
That's Marisa Di Natale. She's a director at moodyseconomy.com. We're also talking with Eve Tamangiolu. She's the author of From the Sandbox to the Corner Office. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's hear from Roy in Portland, Oregon. Roy, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello there.
Hi there.
Well, I work in radio like your first caller, but I work in radio in a way that involves me with small businesses around America, Canada, and even Australia. And I see a double picture happening. I see small businesses taking better care of the employees they have because it's getting tougher on them, and it invokes sort of a family-like atmosphere. Whereas in the larger corporations, the particularly broadcasters, I believe they learned something from the late 80s or mid-80s. It was called RIF, Reduction in Force. And they learned how to make one person do the work of three. And as time came along, people were told that folks like you don't need to be making the money you're making, and they let them go. So now what you have is a small group of people running a rather homogenized version of what used to be. And they're overworked and harried to the point that they work, instead of 40 hours a week, they work 80 to 90 hours a week. And I see this around the country because I freelance, and I talk to a lot of people. And so they're taking work home. But the other hand, which kind of goes along with what your folks there are saying, is that these companies are hiring tons of salespeople, and they're making more money. So their product becomes less of a quality issue and more of a quantity issue, which creates a paradox. Folks like me, who have clung to the standard, are doing the same good work we did 20 years ago, and we're getting hired, and we're getting paid unbelievable amounts of money to do what their staffers were formerly doing, and it creates one more down the chain. You've got thousands of people that don't have jobs, and they have families and children, and now they're working for, I'm talking about less than pennies on the dollar to produce materials that millions of people are hearing and disregarding. So it's like this crazy circle, and I see it going on in other businesses as well as mine.
Roy, thanks for your call. Eve Tamangiolu, he mentioned small businesses taking care of their employees and increasing a family atmosphere. Does that jibe with what you're hearing too?
I think most small business owners I talk to try to do that. You know, they really try to do more with less. They're trying to keep as many workers as they can because they're close to them. But they're under pressure, you know, and they know they have to cut too. I mean, there have been cuts in small businesses as well. And this is one of the frustrating things for my readers, you know, people that I talk to often is, where are the growth jobs? I mean, where is the growth going forward? It's hard to answer that question. Two of your callers who sounded the most frustrated and were doing the most work were out of two growth industries that we're told, you know, are growth industries by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, education and healthcare. And if, you know, you've got this kind of pressure in those areas, and both women experienced it, it makes you wonder, where do you go? Where's the safe haven? Where do you find that job that will offer you opportunities in the future? You know, everybody says, go into nursing. There's so many jobs to be had. But nurses are under pressure, too. A strike started yesterday in Philadelphia at Temple University Hospital. The nurses were looking for higher pay, and they couldn't get that. They haven't had a contract since September. So it makes you wonder, like, where are the opportunities? That's a tough question to answer. It was an easier question to answer during other downturns, I think.
Eve Tamangiolu is the author of From the Sandbox to the Corner Office. She joined us from her home in Wilmington, Delaware. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
We're also joined by Marisa Di Natale, director at moodyseconomy.com. She joined us from her office in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca.